You're listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks, your source for centered and focused play therapy coaching.
Hi, I'm Dr. Brenna Hicks, the kid counselor. This is the Play Therapy Podcast, where you get a master class in child-centered play therapy and practical support and application for your work with children and their families. In today's episode, we are answering a question from Vicky in Canada. And her question is about when kids are told they made a good choice or a bad choice. Perish the thought. So her question is about overhearing that and how that does not align with CCPT and really just kind of wanting to debrief on that. So I'll read parts of Vicky's email and then we'll dive in. Vicky says, I'm an independent contractor in a private practice and I'm the only therapist using CCPT principles and skills exclusively. Welcome to the club, Vicky. So many of us in that situation. Therefore, I would love to become better equipped and eventually offer parenting coaching groups. I'm wondering, what is your input on telling children that they made a bad choice or a good choice? This is something that I often hear at my children's daycare, and quite honestly, it makes my skin crawl. Mine too. My opinion on it is, when we judge the choices made by children, we do so using our adult brain. As you say, children are impulsive and live in their hearts, and labeling choices as good or bad doesn't sound very helpful to me, nor child-centered. It is not. Thank you kindly for answering my email, and I look forward to hearing from you. So Vicky from Canada, thank you for the email, and thanks for being a part of the podcast family. As a general rule, anyone outside of CCPT, but anyone working with kids. So we have to narrow down the population about whom we're speaking, right? Anyone that's working with children, but not any CCPT knowledge or background, you're going to hear good choice and bad choice come out of their mouths almost universally. I'm not surprised at all that you're hearing it at your child's daycare. You hear it in schools, you hear it in classrooms, you hear it in after school care, you hear it in daycare, you hear it in coaching, you hear it in children's sports. Good choice and bad choice has become the predominant way that most adults approach children about the choices and decisions that they're making. Crazy thing is, I actually did several parenting podcast episodes on this a while back because I talked to so many schools, principals, teachers, staff, faculty, whomever. And when I bring up choice giving, almost across the board, their responses are, oh, yes, we give choices all the time. Yeah, we're constantly giving choices. We say, is that really a good choice? Are you making a good choice right now? I don't think that's a good choice. That seems like a bad choice to me. And I'm like, oh my gosh. I think the parenting podcast episode that I'm referencing says why saying making a good choice or a bad choice isn't choice giving or something like that. So I've actually very clearly addressed this with parents, but I think this is helpful to address it from the therapist side of things as well. Here's what we need to be mindful of. If we use a value-laden word, it transforms the entire dynamic of the conversation. It doesn't matter whether it's praise specifically, for example. We know that if there's a value-laden word, it's our evaluation of it. It's our opinion. It's our thought. It's what we think about it. That was the Session Savvy series episode. Gosh, that is so hard to say. The Session Savvy series episode this week was the value-laden words. It changes everything about the conversation. So if we say good choice and bad choice to a child, it no longer is about the choice. It's about what we think about the choice. Do you see how that shifts it? We lose all impact and efficacy about a child having a choice if we evaluate what the choice is. So when we use value-laden words, it derails the whole process. Now, I would argue in a school setting, most of the time kids are not actually being given choices anyway. They hear the word choice and they might hear the word choose, but it's not truly a CCPT choice in the way that we understand it, right? The reason why we give choices is for empowerment. The reason behind choice giving is for ownership and responsibility and understanding of outcome, and that they have a measure of control over something in their lives. The only way this works is if it's neutral and it's factual. So you can choose this or you can choose this. Which do you choose? That is calm, it's neutral, it's factual. That is truly a choice. Once a child has already done something, or said something, or behaved in a certain way, coming back and saying, that was a bad choice. First of all, no choice was given. That's just a follow-up to something that's already taken place. And then evaluating what happened, that's punitive and it's berating and it's critical. Notice that with choice giving, if the child chooses a negative outcome, we again, neutrally, factually, and calmly say, you've chosen whatever the negative outcome is, because we don't have ownership over that outcome, the child does. Just similarly, if someone were to say, that was a good choice, what does the child learn? I just made you happy, so now I'm going to become a people pleaser. Now my entire sense of validation and worth is going to be in what other people think about what I've done. You want to understand why we have the snowflake generation? You want to understand why kids right now are so fragile? Because everyone gets a trophy and everyone gets praised. There's value-laden words in everything that a child is exposed to. Therefore, they have no sense of who they are. They have no internal locus of control. They have no internal motivation. There's no intrinsic ownership over anything. It's, I'm going to do this because I want someone to tell me that I made a good choice. I'm going to do this because I want someone to say good job. I'm going to do this because I'm going to get something for it. That's so unhealthy, y'all. And encouragement is the antidote to this, right? So related, when we give choices, we're empowering a child, but we're also helping them understand they have responsibility for the outcome. It's not what we think about it. It's just a fact. If you choose to throw something and it hits someone, there is a negative consequence. If you choose to control your behavior and say that you're angry instead of throwing something, there is a different outcome to that choice. It's nothing to do with our evaluation. Look, would we always hope and want a child to behave in the most appropriate ways and never have to face negative consequences? Of course. I would always choose for any child in the playroom to not have to move to ultimate limits. I would always choose for any child in the playroom to not have to deal with negative ramifications of behaviors. I would always choose that for my son. When my son does something, who just turned 15, so I mean, we're not talking about a little kid anymore. He's way taller than me. When we're talking about my son, though, I many, many times have thought, oh, Cain, I so wish that you would have chosen differently there. I so wish that you would have been obedient so that you didn't have to deal with the negative outcome that you chose. But you know what? It's not my burden. It's not my responsibility. It's his. He chose that outcome, even as much as I wish that he wouldn't have. So if we say to a kid, that was a bad choice, that does nothing but make the child feel guilty for something probably they already feel guilty about, number one. But number two, it makes it all about us. And that is so detrimental. And really, it undermines the entire concept of a child learning what responsibility and ownership over outcomes means. That is a learned process. And so therefore, if we use value-laden words, it's a totally different approach and really ineffective to the outcomes that we really want for children. So Vicky in Canada, thank you so much for the question. Make sure that as you meet with parents and as you're doing PCs, that you are communicating this type of things to them. These are really, really helpful principles and ideas because they don't know. None of us know what we don't know, but if they are exposed to it, it usually provides some aha moments. So please make sure that you're advocating on behalf of kids, psychoeducating parents, helping them understand what we know, which is there are intentional words that we use that have huge results. So help parents understand not to use value-laden words in their conversation with their children. It changes things in a big way. All right, y'all, if you want to reach out to me, I'd love to hear from you, Brenna@thekidcounselor.com. If you want to leave a question, you can call the voicemail number, which is 813-812-5525. And the meetup in Atlanta is very, very soon. So if you have RSVP'd, be on the lookout for an email. We're going to be sending out all of the details for you so that we can all get together. It's going to be a big group, y'all. I'm super excited. And we're working out all of the final details. You will be receiving an email very soon. Love you all. Can't wait to see you in person at some point. There's going to be lots coming in 2025 in the way of meetups and things like that. So stay tuned. Love y'all. We'll talk again soon. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks. For more episodes and resources, please go to www.playtherapypodcast.com.